Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do.
Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes, Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
And we welcome you into our post-game extra show here on Giants.com as the Giants get past the Washington Redskins 27-23 in yet another thriller in the fourth quarter as Eli Manning hooks up with Victor Cruz from 77 yards out for the go-ahead touchdown, and then the Giants force a fumble on Santana Moss, Blackburn the strip, Hosley the recovery, and it adds up to victory number 5 for the Giants as they improve to 5-2, get their first victory in the division, and the Redskins fall to 3-4. We're going to be taking your phone calls here on our post-game extra, but we are awaiting Tom Coughlin's press conference, and we'll also hear from the players. Keep the number handy, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You could also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You could follow me on Twitter, at Lance Meadow, as the Giants certainly in a celebratory mood as Eli Manning comes up with yet another big play in the fourth quarter. He was 26 of 40 for 337 yards, a touchdown, but two interceptions. And that brings me to how quickly momentum swung in favor of the Giants down the stretch. You had the Giants with the lead, 20-16, and an opportunity to really close the door on this game. They get the ball at their own 17. Manning is sacked, and then they go for a draw to Bradshaw. It sets up a third and long, third and 15 from the Giants' 12. And again, a great screen play to Andre Brown. He picks up 17 yards, so they get a fresh set of downs, forcing the Redskins to use their timeouts. Mission accomplished. So two plays later, it's a third and one from the Giants' 38, and they go to the air. He throws to the back shoulder of Akeem Nix. It's an incompletion, and the Giants are forced to punt. And that was a costly one because the Redskins get the ball back at the 23. And they move the ball somewhat. They get to a 4th and 10. So you figure you got the Redskins backed up against the wall. All you need to do is contain them here. And he runs circles around the Giants' defense, eludes the pressure, and somehow gets a pass off to Paulson over the middle for 19 yards. It gives them a fresh first down. He then rolls out for a 24-yard run. So the lack of discipline showcased fully by the Giants' defense. And after a pass to Morgan, lobs it up top left side for Santana Moss. His second touchdown of the game. Beat Hosley. And the Redskins all of a sudden have a 23-20 lead. And you feel as if maybe the wheels are starting to fall off the Giants here as they are breaking down when it counts the most. And two plays after the Redskins' touchdown, Manning goes for the home run. Victor Cruz gets right past the heart of the Redskins' secondary, gets that touchdown, and then clearly they force Washington's fourth turnover of the game. Ball protection, a big difference maker in today's game. You know, the Giants had two turnovers as Eli Manning coughed it up twice through the air, but the Redskins four. Alfred Morris a fumble, RG3 a fumble, and then Robert Griffin III with two interceptions. And despite all of those turnovers, the Redskins were still in a position to win this football game. I mean, this was not necessarily a pretty game for the Giants. Now, Manning had a rough go for at least the first three quarters and then finally came up with some big plays in the fourth quarter to move the ball and get them to where they needed to be. They did not get nearly as much production on the ground as they would have liked, and this wasn't necessarily a game that they had to abandon the run. You look at the breakdown, Manning threw 40 times. They only ran it 19. Bradshaw had 43 yards on 12 carries and a touchdown. Brown also had a touchdown, 5 carries for 17, and Manning scrambled twice for 4. And what I mean, they weren't as effective in running the ball. I mean, they got 2 touchdowns on the ground. And that's a big accomplishment. But clearly, if you look at the numbers compared to what they were putting up in the last two games, took slight step back in terms of the yardage. But when they needed those short yardage situations, the Giants came through on the ground, specifically when they were in the red zone, because Brown ran in from 1 yard out and Bradshaw did too. And those are the type of plays you want out of your running back. So that was key with respect to the offensive line. Manning did get sacked once. That was a streak that comes to an end now for the Giants' O-line. Overall, though, they've done a great job in terms of protecting Manning. But that sack was critical because it came on the drive where the Giants had the ball only up by four, and this was really an opportunity to at least cushion their lead with a field goal or slam the door in the Redskins' face. And even after overcoming that sack, they had to punt the ball because Manning was not able to hook up with Akeem Nicks for that third and one. And listen, if you really want to look at this game closely, maybe you could make the argument, possibly run the football on a play like that. But, you know, it wasn't as if Nicks wasn't open. It was just a very tough pass and a tough catch for Nicks to make. They took the risk. It backfired. The Redskins got the ball back, scored the touchdown. But the Giants overcame those issues with big plays in the fourth quarter. If there's one thing that you can point to as a consistent factor for the Giants, has been Eli Manning's play in the fourth quarter. It was evident all of last season, and once again, it was evident today that even if they make some mental mistakes and they're not able to execute, whether it be on a third down or it being on a first down, you name it, they're able to make the plays when they needed the most, and that's how this game was won. It was won with the Victor Cruz touchdown, and it was won with the Blackburn strip and the Hostley recovery. Went ahead with a big-time touchdown and sealed it with a big-time turnover. One of four for the Giants. Ball protection was a huge key coming into this game because of how the Giants were careless with the football at times in the two matchups last season and knowing fully well how opportunistic this Redskins defense was. Plus nine turnover differential coming in. Redskins gave up the yardage, but they also were able to pick off Eli Manning twice. Just were not able to do that enough to get over the hump. And then Alfred Morris running wild in the first half for 94 yards, finishes up with 120. So the Giants adjusted somewhat, but RG3 had his way on the ground in the second half. So it was almost pick your poison type of situation for the Giants defense. Yes, contained Morris somewhat in the second half, but RG3 made up for his absence because Robert Griffin III had 89 yards on the ground with nine scrambles, and Morris finishes with a 120. He carried the ball 22 times. Now, Redskins thought that they were in a good comfort zone as they were able to continually feed the ball to Morris and take the pressure off of Robert Griffin III. He really did not have to make plays through the air until, you know, a couple of those last drives where they had their backs against the wall and they lost Fred Davis. They were without Pierre Garçon. So for them to overcome some of those losses was real key of Robert Griffin III. And he's a young rookie, got his first taste of the Giants defense, and the Giants defense got their first taste of Robert Griffin III. And he is going to be a difficult quarterback for years to come with his dual threat, his versatility, and his ability to make plays. He just did not nearly make as many as the Giants did down the stretch. That's what it came down to. It came down to execution in the fourth quarter, and at times the Redskins were sloppy with the football. The Giants were, but the Giants made enough game-changing type of plays to really get over the hump and walk away with a victory here. And it was big on many fronts because clearly it gives them extra momentum heading into the Cowboys game next weekend. And number two, you know, it finally gives them an opportunity to put a win in the column for the division, something that they had struggled with in the first two games against the Cowboys and the Eagles. And now they're entering immediately next weekend. This is now the second time around to go head-to-head with their divisional opponents and an opportunity to really get back to that 500 mark is the Dallas Cowboys playing the Carolina Panthers, and that game did go final. So Dallas wins 19-14. So the Cowboys improved to 3-3. You have the Eagles at 3-3 on the bye. And the Giants are now going to stay in sole possession of first place, and the Redskins falling to 3-4, as there are a couple of early games still being played, most notably in the NFC, a shootout between the Saints and the Bucks. It's 35-28 New Orleans with just under 2 minutes remaining, and Tampa Bay is looking for that game-tying drive just to keep close tabs on what else is happening around the NFC as we're focusing on the latest Giants victory over the Washington Redskins 27-23. We are going to get to your phone calls. We're just awaiting Tom Coughlin, who will be heading to the podium momentarily. We'll hear the coach's thoughts, and I am told he has reached the podium. So without further ado, here's Tom Coughlin.
That's a tough concept. You know, you're defending the National Football League plus the triple option, and it's a difficult scheme. And the second half, we did such a much, much better job. We got the turnovers. Of course, we turned a couple of over too, just to keep it interesting. But the looking at the back of 80's heels there at the end, holy cow, what a great feeling that was at that point in time. But, you know, they're a tough football team. They've given up some numbers this year, as I said earlier in the week, but I'm telling you, they hang in there. They battle with you. They got a little bit different scheme coverage-wise and force you to really dig down in and make some plays from the underneath and then get up on top if you can. But they're tough against the run. We didn't have much success against the run. But, you know, we found a way to win. We found a way to win, and thank God for that.
Will I ever cease to amaze, Jordy? Is it to the point now where you almost expect this now?
Well, you know, I was – does he ever cease to amaze me? No, I guess. There were – the one play right after the turnover we got that was an interception thrown by us was – that one was a lump in my throat, and then he came right back and made the play at the end with Victor. So it was he keeps hanging in there and banging away and banging away, and when his back's up against the wall, that's when he kind of does his best work.
Coach, what did you see offensively? They were putting three safeties back deep late in the ballgame. How did you exclude the focus on that play?
Well, it was there was an option involved there, and he took it. Best way I can tell you.
Speed up coverage from
this. Like, it looks like Eli and Victor had been off at times, other times in the day. I mean, what does it say about their connection that they were able to come up with that big play in the spot there?
So as they, they work well together, and they know what each other's going to do, and it didn't take much for Eli to realize what Victor was going to do when he ran through, and that was a good thing.
Now, can you imagine however many years RG3 is going to be on the field, what it's going to be like?
We only got to play him one more time this year. Thank you.
Coach, when you see RG3 on tape and then see him in person, does the speed translate?
Yes,
well?
It does. It does. He looks like the fastest guy on tape, and he's certainly the fastest guy on the field. When he pulls the ball down, when you break down contain, he goes outside. I mean, you're just praying somebody's going to run him out of bounds.
Coach, you said one thing to throw with Eli, but what about the 4th and 10? That RG3
yeah.
Did convert. I mean, what you saw, what you felt, anything.
Hey, he escaped. He ran around back there. I was shocked there wasn't a lineman downfield. He ran around back there, which seemed like forever, and he hit the tight end in the middle of the field while we had guys chasing him. JPP was right there in the beginning, but couldn't corral him. So, you know, I think when that happens, instead of lamenting and looking back, you better look ahead.
I've brought talking about the game, and what you think of the story?
I think he came out okay.
Brad was a little heated at points in time, and maybe even heated in an exchange with you. What was going on with him?
That's between he and I.
Wanted in the running game, especially after the last couple of weeks.
Well, we knew it was going to be tough, and we knew there was going to be some openings in the pass game. And I wish we had better balance. We didn't. We had some things that came through pretty well, pretty clean. But we had other things that we rely on that didn't go anywhere. So you got to give credit to them, and we'll look at it. We knew we had to sustain and get movement. You're not going to just come off the ball. These people need to be moved. The interior three are big, strong guys, and they fit very well the way in which they tie in their gap responsibilities. They play a lot of inside arm free, which forces you to do some things. But, I'm disappointed. I'm always disappointed. But we won the game. You know, that's the important thing for everybody to realize is that the object is to win. Somehow, some way, find a way to win. Now, I'm not happy with the turnovers. You know, we've done such a great job running it and not turning it over. And we, qu- quite frankly, kept the game alive by our turnovers.
Head Coach Tom Coughlin, as we head to the locker room, the Eli Manning interview brought to you by Toyota, the official vehicle of the New York Giants. And talk about the touchdown pass to Victor Cruz.
You know, just great job by Victor. You know, a good call by Coach Gilbride. They've been kind of mixing in a couple different coverages, but, you know, went to a coverage we were hoping for. And you know, Vic had a seam route, safety was low, so he ran right by him and you know, threw it up high and long, and hopefully he was going to run under it. Did a great job finding the ball, catching it, and then scoring a touchdown and giving us the lead, and then our defense getting the turnover at the end. That was huge.
During the course of the game, whether it was the back shoulder throw to Akeem or early in the game where you had Victor in the goal line situation, you missed him on the slant, when it's frustrating like that, how do you keep your composure and not let it affect you later?
Yeah, you know, you just got to say, hey, I got to make up for that one. I got to make a throw, and that's just part of football. Some passes you're gonna be a little off, or you know, miss a guy. So, you know, I hate missing the one to Akeem at the end. You got a chance to get a first down, run a lot of clock, you know, hopefully end the game with the ball in our hands, and don't give the ball back to Washington, and we just missed him a little bit. So that's something we just got to keep working and getting. You know, he missed a few weeks, so you know, in practice we got to get back, you know, hitting those throws with Akeem. But you know, when we got down the fourth quarter, we needed a field goal at least at the very end. We've been really good in those situations in the past. It's good to know that we still got it. We can make a play when we need it.
Yeah, when you have a team that's been through what you guys have been through as a group over the years, is there any nervous tension at all when you go out there?
No, I mean you feel confident that you can move the ball. We had a good 2-minute drive right before halftime, and got a field goal. So we kind of had a pretty good feel for what they were going to play on defense, and so we felt we have some opportunities to make some plays. We've been in those circumstances. We practice it a lot, so we feel that we're going to be able to move the ball. You just hope you get the opportunities, and that you got. When you have a good play call, that you got good protection and everybody does the right things, and when you get that that perfect call and you hit it, that makes it fun.
Thanks, Eli.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, that's Eli Manning here in the locker room as we send it over to John Schmelk.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here at the locker of Michael Boley and Michael, a crazy up and down game here, but it looks like the turnovers you guys are able to force really made the difference in the end.
Most definitely. You know, they keep it real. You know, they had a lot of success. Running and passing ball, mostly running early on, throughout the early part of the game. But, the turnovers in the second half definitely helped us and put the offense in some position to get some scores out of it.
Can you take us through the play on your fumble recovery? What happened?
Ran a dive, and I stepped up, taking on the block, and I see the ball at my feet, so just fell on it.
What was it like playing this game and preparing for an NFL game, but at the same time you're getting ready for the triple option like you're back in college?
It's tough. For our game plan, it was particularly tough, considering, they came out and they threw a lot of different looks at us that we hadn't seen on film, hadn't seen in previous weeks. So.
And finally, in the second half, you did a much better job stopping the run. The first half, they got you pretty good. What changed that made you more effective?
Halftime adjustments. Coaches came in, they saw some things so early on and, made a few adjustments, and it worked.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Over to Bob Pop at the locker of Jason Pierre-Paul.
It was a great fit, man. We can do off running. We just play great football. That's all. That's all we can do. But until then, we got Dallas this weekend. Hopefully, they don't beat us before, so we already know what they're coming with. Like I say, every team in this division is a hard team. Everybody, fixing to beat us, so we got to come with our A game.
They beat you before, you guys.
Of course, they beat us before. Every team is different, man. No team stays the same, so. That's how it is.
Jason, just talk a little bit about sort of the pressure that the Robert Griffin III puts on a defense.
Say what?
Talk about the pressure that Robert Griffin III puts on a defense during the course of a game.
He can run, he can pass, he can do all that he wants. So, honestly, he played great today. I can't take that away from him. He played great, but at the end, we came out with a win. So.
Is it hard to not get frustrated during the course of the game?
No, not at all, man. We face quarterbacks like that all the time, And we just got to, keep on fighting. It came down to the offense. The offense did their thing, put us out there one more time to start the drive, and that's what we did.
What does it mean when you're on the bench and you know that you have Eli Manning and his time on the clock?
Eli does it all the time. He's an elite quarterback. I'm so glad he's on my team, not anybody else. So Eli did his thing, man, slowed up defense, too. Everybody did their thing today and play well today as one. So we came out with a victory.
Thanks, Jay.
All right.
That's Jason Pierre-Paul here in the Giants locker room. John Schmelk. Send it over to you. We've got Chris Candy walking by. Well, we got to talk to our man, Chris. Chris, welcome back. How'd it feel?
Feel good to be back. Just be out there hunting with the defensive line and the rest of the guys out there. It was a great feeling. Glad we were able to put enough plays together there at the end and get a win. I'm just excited to be a part of it.
That very first snap when you're out there, is there doubt, apprehension going through your mind?
There's always that, you know, nervous, anxious, excited feeling. I think every player has that when they're going out there. If you don't have that, you probably don't need to be playing the game anymore. But, you know, I had those little butterflies, and after that first hit, you know, you're able to get in there and settle down and kind of get back in the groove of it. And, you know, I felt like I was able to do that. Obviously, there's still a little rust that we've got to shake off, but I think that, you know, as we continue to go into this thing, get some more practice under my belt, going into next week, I think that'll bode well for me and for our team.
Finally, how frustrating and how much pressure does a guy like Robert Griffin III put on a defense?
He puts a ton of pressure on him. I mean, you see him on tape, and he looks fast on tape, but he's even faster in person. And so you just got to try to keep chopping wood, as we say. Just keep coming after him, keep trying to, you know, play disciplined football, and in the end, hopefully you make enough plays to be able to be successful against him.
Thanks, Chris. Welcome back.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, that's Chris Candy. Over to John Schmelk at Antrell Rolls Locker.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're here with Giant safety Antrell. What was the reality as compared to the tape going against Robert Griffin III? Was it exactly what you expected or different?
I mean, it was definitely what I expected. You know, we knew we were going in playing, going against a phenomenal team with a phenomenal athlete at quarterback, and everything pretty much, you know, rolls around him. The running game was pretty efficient today, and they did a great job pounding the ball, and yeah, I think we gave them a better show the second half, you know, more so the first. The first half, we really couldn't get things rolling. And, you know, I think they were more successful in the things that they were trying to do and what they presented as, you know, as opposed to what we were doing.
What were some of the adjustments you guys made at halftime to do such a better job, especially against the run at half number two?
You know, to be honest with you, we didn't make a huge adjustment. You know, we just kind of went out there and went with the same game plan. And, you know, we just rotated a couple things around a little bit. But other than that, you know, we still pretty much stuck with the same game plan.
Why were you able to force those turnovers the way you were in the second half?
Guys were playing relentless, and you know we were trying to do whatever we could to stop those guys and create turnovers and give our offense another shot to do what they do best, which is put the ball in the end zone. And I think for the most part, I think we definitely won a turnover battle.
How important is it to get your first division win heading to Dallas next week?
Extremely important. You know, this was a do-or-die game for us. Well, at least that's just the way I see it, and I'm sure, you know, my teammates and coaches feel the same way. It was a must-needed win in our division, and, you know, we played relentless. You know, we fought to the end. We fought full 60 minutes and came out on top.
Thank you, Antrell. Appreciate it. Over to Bob Poppe. He's got Victor Cruz.
All right, tell me about the touchdown.
Well, it was, you know, a play where I saw the covers kind of open up as I was going through my route, and, you know, I just kept my route going, and that's one of the reads on that specific play. And Eli read it the same way I did, threw it up, threw a great ball, and I caught it and continued to roll after that.
What's it feel like when you know you got them beat? Are you starting to look around and see who's got an angle on you?
It feels good, man. I was kind of looking up at the jumbotron. I didn't want to turn around because it slowed me down. But I saw one guy dive, and I kind of leaned to one side, and then I knew I had it after that. So it's definitely a good feeling.
Obviously, a little frustration during the course of the game. Eli missed you on a slant for a touchdown. How do you fight through situations like that when it's not clicking like it normally does?
Just staying positive, understanding that our defense was playing well, and, you know, they had their ups and downs, but they were playing well, man, and we knew we were going to have another opportunity, and just continuing to plug away and continuing to do what we do best, and that's focus on the defenses we're seeing, and as receivers just coming up with the football every chance we can.
Thanks, Victor.
No problem. Thank you.
A 77-yard game-winning touchdown as we send it back over to John Schmelk.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're here with Stevie Brown. Stevie, you're just a magnet for the football this year, man. Great interception. What happened on the play?
You know, I was just in the post. I saw the receiver breaking across the middle. I'm pretty sure Webby was the one underneath him. RG3 was under a little bit of pressure, so he tried to put a little more on to get it over Webby's head, and I was just able to break on the play.
It looked like he tried to get it in that first window in the slant. He pumped it a little bit, and then when he went for the second window, you were right there.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely what it looked like happened. I told all the players, if anything goes over, I'm getting it.
This game was just back and forth at the turnovers. You guys did a great job forcing those fumbles, getting that pick in the second half. Does it just underscore the point that Coach and the coaching staff makes you all week long that turnovers win the football games?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's one of the first stats that Coach Coughlin always puts up in the meeting on Wednesday whenever we're going over the game plan. He always talks about the turnover ratio. If you win the turnover ratio, the percentage goes up winning. If you don't have any turnovers, so, you know, he preaches turnovers and not turning the ball over and getting turnovers on a daily basis.
What's the adjustment like going from a more conventional offense to today? You're facing Robert Griffin III, where he can do everything an NFL quarterback can do, but at the same time, it's like you're in college again preparing for the option. How does that change your preparation when you go out there and play?
I mean, you definitely have to read your keys a lot more. You can't be too quick to break on something, because if you break on something, you can make the complete wrong read, and he could be out the door backside for 90. So, you know, it definitely makes you honor like all your commitments out there. You got to read, stay home, and then you can't go until you know for sure what it is.
Just as fast in real life as he looks on tape?
He might be faster. He might be faster.
Steven, thanks a lot, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Giants safety Stevie Brown, John Schmelk, Bob Poppy here in the New York Giants locker room. The Giants defeat.
All right, that was head coach Tom Coughlin and a handful of players reacting to the latest Giants victory, 27-23, as they improve to 5-2. Redskins fall to 3-4. We're going to open up the phone lines here, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. And we start with Edward in White Plains. Edward, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, how are you?
Doing well, Edward. What you got?
I mean, it was great game. I mean, I should be more happier than I am, but I almost felt for a moment that it was going to be Miracle at the Meadowlands Part 2. I think the one thing that I really didn't like was how the game was tied at the half, and you mentioned it, that the Giants didn't run well. We kind of fell back to where we were at the Eagles game, where we didn't really try to run. You know, it was 13-13. We come out in the second half, we throw. You know, third and one, we throw. There are just series where throw, and Eli wasn't very effective. So it didn't seem to make a lot of sense how we're just constantly taking this game that we don't need to be throwing the ball and where we have to milk time, and we're just throwing a lot. The Griffin play that everyone's going to talk about, I thought, was pretty badly schemed. I mean, they were rushing three, so those three guys pretty much had no chance to catch him. I mean, of course, that's what was going to happen. He saw three, and he rolled out, and he was able to buy all the time he needed. And then on the touchdown, you know, they brought the house. So that was really strange type way to deal with that, and it just looked exactly like Michael Vick, where we have him contained, and then we outthink ourselves and we try to do something too exotic. I don't know, that was just my take on that situation. I don't know what you think about, but I think I can see why Ahmad Bradshaw was upset, because that's what I was thinking. Run the ball. I mean, did they really try to run the ball today?
No, and that's a fair point, Edward. You know, when you look at the breakdown, Manning throws 40 times. They only ran for 19, and the game was not out of hand. It was pretty much back and forth, so it played into the hands of them definitely running the football. And, you know, like any other game that we've seen this season, the more carries you give the running backs, the more rhythm that they're able to gain. I mean, Bradshaw had the most, 12 carries, just 43 yards. As I mentioned, they did get two touchdowns on the ground, so that's a positive. But, you know, they probably would have been better off if they would have stayed with the ground game a bit and not put the pressure on Eli Manning's shoulders, where he maybe is trying to force the issue, press the envelope, and all of a sudden the turnovers start to pile. So that's definitely fair criticism. At times we've seen that last season where it's a close game, they're not necessarily down by a lot, and they just feel as if it's a better game plan to put the ball in the hands of Eli Manning and force him to air it out. Though you can also say, even though Eli Manning had his struggles, Edward, there were a lot of plays that they could have made in the passing game that they let slip away. I mean, there were a couple of miscues with the receivers. He had that third and one, which Manning was even talking about. Hakeem Nicks, he had him on the right sideline, and they were not able to hook up. There was a couple of plays with Martellus Bennett that he overthrew. You know, despite his ups and downs throughout the game, it's not as if it didn't call for the pass. I mean, there were opportunities to make plays down the field. He just was not on the same page with his receivers or his tight ends.
Well, I know, but this is the Rocketgate team, in case anyone remembers Rocketgate. So I thought they would come out and really try to run the ball and avoid the second Rocketgate Part 2. But because that play, that second pick where the I don't know who it was, but where it seems like Eli has a little blind spot there. Most of his critical picks lately have been somebody just standing on the left side of the field, and Eli seems to throw it right to him. It happened, I forget which game it happened, but it happened on the one pass that was to Bennett in the corner of the end zone. He's just not seeing who's ever over there, and the guy's right there.
Well, Manning forced that pass. He was pressured on that play. He just tried to get rid of it. He probably would have been better off just throwing it away at the ground as opposed to taking the risk and putting it in the air, because the Redskins read that beautifully, and that's why they were able to capitalize on that turnover. And appreciate the phone call, Edward. Thanks so much. And I understand the criticism that perhaps they could have dictated this game a little bit better on the ground. That's fair. I mean, you look at the last two games. Part of the reason why they were able to have at least a consistent game from the third quarter to the fourth quarter, from the second quarter to the third quarter and so forth, was because they had great balance. They weren't forcing Eli Manning to throw 50-some-odd times. Today was a game that they resorted back to that method, which is, we're going to stop running the football. We're not that happy with the chunks of yardage we're getting, the yardage per carry, and therefore we're going to put the ball in Eli Manning's hands. But you know what? You're up 20-16, and I understand they were in a third and long, so they had to throw the ball. They went to the screen, and the screen worked, and that screen play has not always worked well for the Giants. But then after that initial first down, you know, try milking more clock, try giving it to Bradshaw or Brown, and perhaps setting yourself up for a more manageable second and third down, and they didn't necessarily follow that strategy. Getting back to the other point Edward brought up, which was regarding the pressure that Perry Fuel brought, specifically on the drive where the Redskins had the go-ahead touchdown to Santana Moss and they were able to take that brief lead. Listen, even if you rush three and you don't think that they're going to have a chance to get RG3, then you should have full confidence in the rest of your defenders down the field to stick with their gaps and stick with their assignments to prevent RG3 from getting a pass over the middle to a wide-open tight end. I don't think that's really asking for much, even though you don't think enough pressure was brought to get him. And, you know, as I mentioned, and I'll say it over and over again throughout the course of the season, dialing up the blitz, especially against a mobile quarterback, is always a catch-22. It doesn't matter whether you bring three, you bring four, you bring five. You know, if you over-pursue and you think you bring the right amount of personnel, maybe he gets rid of the football quickly. And then if you don't bring enough personnel, he has enough time and enough room to run wild and make a play. So it really, I don't know if there's necessarily the perfect scheme. You can maybe make the argument that you're in a situation where they need 30 yards. You don't necessarily need to bring everybody, given the fact that you feel like you're in a comfortable position and you know they have to get in the end zone. So the pressure is on them, and as long as everybody sticks to their assignments in the secondary, you'll be in a position to deny them a touchdown. That's fair. But you have to bring some pressure at the end of the day. You can't let him get so comfortable, because remember, Robert Griffin III, yes, he's a mobile quarterback. He has the ability to make plays with his legs, but more often than not, he's looking to make a play with his arm. He likes to be in that pocket, especially since he suffered the concussion against the Falcons. So he's not looking to take off, play in, and play out. And I think he did a nice job with his decision-making today. You know, he was leaning on Alfred Morris. The fumbles that he made today were on handoffs. It wasn't as if he was racing out for 20 yards and then taking a big hit. And when he knew or anticipated that he was going to take a big hit, he ran out of play. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. We go to Steve in Connecticut. Steve, what's happening?
What's going on, Lance? A few things. Well, the bad is we gave up over 200 yards in rushing. Okay, that's bad. The good news is we won the game and we won't be facing RG3 every week, so we don't have to worry about that threat option, you know? I'm a little wary about the decisions in the fourth quarter, though, man. Under 5 minutes, why are you throwing the ball on first down? Let's run it and run out some clock.
And that's fair, and it piggybacks off of the point that Edward brought up. A close game, you've got the lead. I really don't think it's that necessary to air it out, and I'm trying to find on my notes here to go through the specific drive here. They're up 20-13, and then clearly the Redskins made it 20-16. So this was the drive that started on the Giants 17. Manning was sacked on the first play from the line of scrimmage. Then they went a draw to gain some positive yardage back because it was second and 18. And on third and 15, let's face it, you have no choice but to throw. And they actually ran a good play, a screen to Brown, where I think they probably would have settled for a punt, but he got good blocking up the field to get the first down. So here's where you get a fresh set of downs, first and 10 from their own 29. They ran it with Brown for four. On second and 6, they then went to the air to Cruz, and they were 1 yard shy, and that set up the third and 1, and they went to throw as opposed to run in that situation. I may have ran the ball on third and 1. Take my chances that you can pick up 1 yard with your ability and the consistency of the offensive line. So, you know, there's certainly plenty of examples that you can play devil's advocate. But you know what? As you mentioned, Steve, at the end of the day, they found a way. It wasn't necessarily pretty, but they'll take the W.
Yeah, and J.R. Holdley definitely redeemed himself after getting burnt for that touchdown. That fumble recovery was huge.
That was a big play. Blackburn was the one that forced it, and then Hosley coming up with the recovery, absolutely, after Santana Moss beat him on that route to get the go-ahead touchdown. You know, like any other rookie, he's going to have his ups and downs. It's a learning curve. He's had some big games, then he got hurt, and now he's all of a sudden working his way back into the mix. But you're absolutely right. Sometimes this game is about redemption, and Hosley came up big time in the clutch.
Now, another thing, man. Third, you know, like, I don't know the stats. Maybe you got the stats, but the Redskins were perfect on first down this game, correct?
You're talking about first down, Steve?
Fourth down. I'm sorry.
Fourth down. Okay. Fourth down. Yes, they were 3 of 3. That is correct.
All right. We definitely got to work on that, man. And I don't know the stats on third down, but they were pretty successful on third,
well,
too.
Well, third down, they were 6 of 13. At one point, they were actually 4 of 6. So the Giants did a better job on third down in the second half. And the reason why they were so effective on fourth down was because on that drive that Santana Moss got the touchdown, it was pretty much one fourth down after the other. And you're right. You've got the team with its back against the wall. You should be able to make a stop. I really don't think that that's necessarily asking for much, and I'm looking at that drive. Let's see, they faced a 4th and 10, and that was the play that the Giants seemed to have him bottled up. He ran out of trouble, got the pass to Paulson over the middle for 19, and then later in the drive, they actually did not face a 4th down. For some reason, I felt as if they faced more 4th downs on that drive. They had another 4th down on the previous drive. It was a 4th and 1 when RG3 rolled out. He pump-faked and then ran for 3. So that was a much shorter situation. And then I'm trying to scan here through my notes for another 4th down that the Redskins may have faced in which they converted. On 4th and 14, they went for the 4-bath field goal for 43 yards out. So I believe the other 4th down was somewhere in the
It was late in the 4th because now, listen, Lance, I'm down with JPP. I love JPP. The replay, the replay showed that he might have dogged it a little bit or just gave up because it looked clearly like he could have had Robert Griffin on that play, on that 4th and 10. It was a 4th and 10, and it looked like they had him bottled up, but somehow he got away, and I think he made what? Was it a 12-yard completion or was it 14?
No, it was 19. He got a Paulson over the middle. Yeah, for 19. It was a big chunk of yardage, and he was wide open in the middle of the field.
Yeah, no, but like I said, I love JPP, Lance. I love him to death. But what you think about that play? Do you think he had a chance to get him, or he just gave up after that little move RG3 put on him?
Well, appreciate the phone call, Steve, as I want to get to a couple of more people here on our postgame show. But you know, I think he had an opportunity to make a play. I don't necessarily think that he gave up. You know, Robert Griffin III, you have to tip your cap to him in that situation. He's got great athleticism. He has the ability to elude the tackles. And, you know, even the best defensive linemen in this league are not always going to be able to bring him down. He made, you know, plenty of plays and an effort to try to get to RG3. And he also helped force the fumble on him earlier in the game. So JPP was all over the place. It's just that would have been the one play you would have liked him to be able to bottle him up, bring him down, because it ultimately led to a touchdown. And I actually found that other fourth down that the Redskins faced. It was actually on the previous Redskins drive from the one that they scored the touchdown. They had the 4th-and-1 when I mentioned he rolled out, ran for 3. And a couple of plays earlier, there was a 4th-and-3 from the Giants 48. And that's when they ran a slant to Hankerson for 9 yards. So all three of those 4th downs came on the final 2 drives for the Redskins. And clearly those would have been opportunities where you maybe force Washington into a punt or you force them to settle for a field goal, and that definitely could have been a game changer. But other than the 4th-and-10, those weren't necessarily big chunks of yardage that the Redskins were facing. It was short yardage situation. It was a 4th-and-3 and a 4th-and-1. The 4th-and-10 was that final one where they were able to score the touchdown. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Taking your phone calls here on our Giants.com postgame extra. You could also chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants chat at Lance Meadow. We go to our good friend Zeke in Virginia. Zeke, what's happening?
What's up, Lance? You can hear me loud and clear?
I hear you loud and clear, Zeke. What you got?
All right, couple things. Their offense, I didn't know it was going to be that potent against our defense. For some odd reason, when it comes to the Redskins, we just don't. We could have played better than what we played. I mean, Morris had 100 yards. Most of that came in the first half. RG3, I think he had, 83 yards rushing or something like that. We didn't do a great job of containing something that happens when we play running quarterbacks pretty much like Vic and
that's been a troublesome
Bob
aspect,
Griffin.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you one thing. Our running game, I think it could have been there if we kept going. I know Gilbride probably seen something on film, which, you know, probably had Eli Manning's mouth drooling about their defense, which he thought he could have passed all over him, which, I mean, he did a great job, but he just keep going to the air, bat to bat to bat. I think we opened up the game with 3 straight passing plays and, like, 1 running play. They kept going to the air. I'm not sure how many times Eli threw the ball. You probably had those numbers, but,
he threw
How many times throw the ball, Zeke? 40. Good gosh. I mean, we can't keep lining up and letting Eli throw. I mean, I know Eli, to me, he's playing the best quarterback in the league, you know, by far. But, you know, we got to get the running game going. And that's what happened a couple weeks ago against, I mean, last week against the 49ers. Yeah, we rushed for 26 yards in the first half. But, you know, we just kept going to it because we know Eli's going to keep throwing the ball. And eventually the 49ers, opportunistic defense, will get a hand on it. And that's what – he didn't throw an interception last week. And the Redskins, you know, they got an interception this week. Another thing is Eli, he played decent, but he missed a lot of open passes to Cruz in the first half. Bennett in the second half. I mean, Bennett, he also missed, excuse me. And I think on his first interception, he missed Bennett, which was, he was pretty wide open, considering that's NFL wide open right there. And Stevie Brown, you know, I was pretty scared when Kenny Phillips went down, but he has been playing great ball lately. Sometimes he could be a little close to that line of scrimmage on the play action, and he got a tendency to, you know, kind of get beat deep. But he has been very good playing the ball. I was very scared when Kenny Phillips went down a couple weeks ago. I know he's not the player Kenny Phillips is, but he has still been great. Lance has been great, man. I'm going to keep listening to the show. You have a good one.
All right, Zeke, appreciate the phone call. And you're right. Stevie Brown has been a game changer for the Giants ever since Kenny Phillips went down. I mentioned it started with that Carolina Panthers game, which was the game that he immediately had to fill in. He had the fumble recovery against the Cleveland Browns, and then he comes up with a big interception today. So he really has made an impact the last couple of games for the Giants on defense, and it talks volumes about the depth chart for the Giants. They've had multiple injuries on many fronts, not just defense, but on offense. And the name of the game this season has been, you know, who's going to step up for me next? That's the question that Tom Coughlin continually asks, and Stevie Brown has really made the loss of Kenny Phillips not hurt to the extent that maybe some other teams would be suffering when a big-time starter goes down. So that has been huge for them. You mentioned, obviously, the dependency on throwing the football today, and a lot of callers have touched on that. And, you know, at the end of the day, they did win the game. I think that that's what matters. But they wanted balance. I think that they showcased that the last 2 games. Unfortunately, it didn't add up that way. And that's why, which we've been talking about for weeks, when you put the ball in the air, you are going to then put yourself at risk for causing turnovers. And Manning, by throwing it 40 times, you know, not much of a surprise that he threw two interceptions. I mean, he's been very good with the football throughout the course of the season, but you have a close game. You've got a running game that's really been gaining some momentum over the last couple of weeks. You want to lean on that. And the balance was not necessarily there today. There were a couple of miscues with the receivers. I thought Martellus Bennett was a big bright spot for Eli Manning today. 5 catches, 79 yards. I threw out his name in the pregame because I felt that with Cruz and Nix both returning to full health, and meaning one of the few times you have both of your receivers out there, they draw enough attention that Bennett should have been able to make plays down the middle of the field, and he answered that call today. And the other thing to keep in mind, you know, about the Giants coming in thinking that they were going to throw all over the Redskins, you can't blame them for that. I mean, Washington was dead last against the pass. They were number 32. So if you're the Giants building a game plan throughout the course of the week, yes, you're not saying to yourselves, we're going to run the ball twice and we're going to throw the ball 60 to 70 times, but you have to feel, at least from what you see on film, there's going to be opportunities to take advantage of. And there were. I mean, Victor Cruz doesn't score from 77 yards out based on just Eli Manning throwing up a Hail Mary and hoping that somebody catches it. It was because he caught the secondary out of place and they could not run with him. And that's why they were able to make that play in crunch time. Washington has had its inefficiencies in the secondary. What's made up for that at times, and a big reason why they're 3-3, is they're opportunistic. So they may give up 400 yards, but they may force 3 or 4 turnovers to help overcome some of the issues they have with the big chunks of yardage. And they thought they had overcome that today by getting those 2 picks on Eli Manning. But the Giants forced 4 turnovers themselves, and that turned out to be a huge difference maker. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. We go to Sherry Renee in Virginia. Sherry Renee, what's up?
Hello, and it's actually Sherry Renee,
Sheree,
but that's
sorry.
Okay.
Okay, what you got, Sherry?
Oh, my gosh. I'm over here in much need of oxygen, and I need to keep my blood pressure checked or something because I was going nuts. Oh, my gosh. That game was so ridiculous. And also, I wanted to let it be known, I'm future Mrs. O.C. Umanura. Yes, recognize. I'm originally from Brooklyn, but I now reside in Virginia, just like the gentleman who was on right before me is in Virginia.
Well, appreciate the phone call, Sheree, and you're absolutely right. That was a game where you did need to catch your breath after each and every play down the stretch, as the Giants once again were able to be called the comeback kids, and they made the plays when they needed the most down the stretch, as Eli Manning was known for all of his fourth quarter comebacks last season. And lately, they've been in a position where they were building leads and just closing out games. Today wasn't necessarily the story. It wasn't that they had to play from behind. It was just a very tough fought battle between both of these teams. It was 13-13 at the half, and then the Giants got out to a touchdown lead. Redskins pulled within 4 on a field goal, and then because the Giants couldn't slam the door, Washington had an opportunity to go ahead, and the Giants responded. There was a stretch during the third quarter. It was 3 consecutive possessions with turnovers. You had Morris with the fumble, Manning the pick, and then all of a sudden the Skins give it back again. It was a constant back and forth. That's why there wasn't much offense in that third quarter. Actually, there wasn't any offense. Neither team scored. They combined for 24 in the fourth quarter after each team scored 13 in the first half. So it was a sloppy third quarter, and the Giants were able to outlast the Skins. They protected the ball better than the Redskins. That's really what this game comes down to. And they made the big game-changing play when they needed. You know, Washington was able to move the chains very carefully throughout the course of the game. They didn't lean on RG3 going for the home run because Morris was the workhorse of the first half. He finished with 120. He had 94 in the first half alone. And a lot of it was 5 to 7 yards. It was manageable third downs that they were facing. And Robert Griffin III was not in a position where he had to turn the ball over because he had to maybe throw the big home run play. And that was a lot because of the running game that they got. Second half, Giants made some adjustments. Robert Griffin III, I thought, had a lot of good running plays. But down the stretch, he had to make some plays. And that's all of a sudden where the Giants tested him a little. And they got somewhat sloppy with the football. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Dom in Pennsylvania. Dom, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. How you doing?
Doing well, Dom. What you got?
I pretty much covered a lot of stuff I wanted to talk about, especially the lack of the run game. I mean, the coach talked about balance, but they didn't even try to do it. And I just want to thank the Lord and Giant management for Victor Cruz, because he made an impact in the last 2 years, as you know. So let's go to defense. Do you think that they had a problem because they just didn't know RG3 and this phenomenal running back they had?
I think there was enough evidence on film that they knew they needed to prepare for his ability to run and throw. I think, yes, sometimes what you see on film is one thing, and then when you get out on the field, and some of the players even talked about it, it's almost 10 times faster than what it is on film. So I agree with you. I think there was definitely that first half adjustment. Let's test the waters. Let's see how he reacts to certain situations. And then you assume when they see him later in the season, they're going to know how to game plan a little bit better for him. Clearly, this was the first time he saw them and the first time they saw him. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that guy reminds me of the old Morris we used to have years ago.
Yeah.
All right, take care now.
All right, Dom, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. Morris really impressed me. I mean, this was the first opportunity where I got to see him through all four quarters. You know, I've watched plenty of highlights, but he reminded me sort of Trent Richardson-esque. Richardson, when they faced the Giants, he was that workhorse. He was the guy that was carrying a couple of additional defenders with him to gain extra yardage, and Morris was following that script early in the first half. It wasn't necessarily that the Giants were out of position. It was, even if they wrapped him up, Morris was fighting for an additional 2 to 3 yards. And gap control did play a role as well. And I thought that they made some of an adjustment in the second half. But one of the things I threw out in the pregame show, all of the chatter, all of the talk is about RG3 this, RG3 that. Let's not forget, RG3 has had success because he's been able to lean on a rookie running back. And that's exactly what they did in the first half. So it was imperative for the Giants to take Morris out of the equation moving forward. Because if he got into that comfort zone, he was on pace for over 200 yards. So to finish with 120 is somewhat of an accomplishment for the Giants, given that he did tremendous amount of damage in the first half alone, where he was right around 100, right around the century mark in two quarters of work. Because they just kept feeding him the ball, and he was putting them in manageable second and third downs. That's why, if you look at the game log, there was not many tough situations that the Redskins were facing. Longest situation was, I think, 3rd and 7. And the 3rd and 7 was the play that they actually ran the bubble screen to Moss, and he ran untouched into the end zone. 8-play, 80-yard drive. That's what put them up 10-7. So the Redskins were very effective in the first half because it was one manageable down after the other. We go back to the phone lines. We go to Albert in Toms River. Albert, what's happening?
Hey, hold on 1 second.
All right, Albert.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Albert. What you got?
All right, so first I just want to say, give a big shout out to all us Giants fans because I don't know, I think we're looking at a repeat here. I want to talk about the Eli phenomenon that seems to keep creeping back in, even though we're winning. This problem with throwing an interception when normally he would throw it away. It just kind of it seems like a virus that maybe we can treat. I don't know if that's kind of what I wanted to put across.
Well, you mean in terms of his decision making on certain downs where it's better off to throw away the football as opposed to try to air it out?
Yeah, I think he's had a lot of progress, and obviously, I think we're looking at one of the top five quarterbacks of all time. I just would like to see it go away for good, if you will. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know how to train it out of him or what have you. But I think that's you know, if you look at the last quarter, that's where we had our problem. Yeah, sure, we could have run the ball, and it would have been a little bit more manageable. But I think Eli's decision and throwing that interception kind of changes the waters. And we don't want this 6 games from now. That's kind of what I'm trying to get across.
And that's understandable. You look back at the Eagles game, that was another game where his decision-making, you know, played obviously a role in the final outcome because the Giants lost that game, and this one could have cost them too. But in the end, the offense and the defense made up for it down the stretch. You know, there are times where he resorts back to his old ways and makes some questionable throws, but I think there's more good than bad that he does. to allow him to make a mistake once in a while. I mean, even some of the other top quarterbacks in this league, you know, make some questionable decisions. But you're right, in a game like this that was so closely contested, and appreciate the phone call, Albert, you know, you want Eli Manning to maybe think about the best thing to do is either throw the ball away, throw it towards the ground, just get rid of it, as opposed to trying to force it into a tight space. And the second interception that he threw, he was pressured. And to me, that would have been a golden opportunity to just throw the ball away. Instead, he tried to force it, and he wasn't set on his feet. And as a result, the Redskins were able to jump the gun. And the other one was a result of him just, you know, being out of sync at times, it seemed, with Martellus Bennett and even with Victor Cruz. It took almost one half for them to find their rhythm. And we've seen that throughout the course of a couple of games, not necessarily with the passing game, but even the overall offense. It's like they need to feel out the opponent for two quarters, and then they come back out of the locker room, or right before the half, they start to put things together where their back's against the wall, they're running that two-minute drill, and that's the way that they feel that there's a sense of urgency that they need to get points on the board. Outside of that, it seems to be a slow start. And you look back at the beginning of this game, the Giants had the ball to start, and they did go to the air, and I know Zeke brought this up. They threw right from the start, two plays. They had success. Knicks had a 14-yard gain, and then they went to Bradshaw, short dump off for 11. And they got all the way down to the Washington 40. It was 4th-and-1. They were going to go for it, and they shot themselves in the foot as Locklear was charged with a false start penalty. So that cost them there. And then when you look at the second drive for the Giants, where they were finally able to get a Brown touchdown, 12 plays, 80 yards, you know, a little bit better rhythm in terms of their ability and their play calling. He hit Martellus Bennett for a big 31-yard play, and that came on 3rd-and-1. And that could be a play where you could say, well, why didn't they run the ball? Listen, that was one where the decision paid off. There's going to be other situations where you could look at the 3rd-and-1, which is the perfect example we have from this game as well. Went to Knicks. You maybe say, why didn't they throw the ball? I mean, why didn't they run the ball? They chose to throw it. It backfired. You know, you're going to have those situations throughout the course of a game and throughout the course of the season. At the end of the day, though, it's all who makes the plays when they needed it the most. The Giants did. The Redskins didn't. That was the difference. We go to Drew in Virginia. Drew, what's happening?
That's how you doing, man?
Doing well, Drew.
Hey,
what you got?
First and foremost, man, you know, I called early, so yep. I'll just say this, man. You know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. You know, I was complaining about the defense the first half. I thought we did a little bit better job in the second half. We did shut the running game down for the most part, so I was really happy with that. You know, and somebody had brought up about running quarterbacks. Yeah, you're right. We've always struggled with mobile quarterbacks. They do tend to give this defense a lot of problems. But, you know, again, like I said, I thought we did a better half. I want to talk about Eli. You know, I mean, as I told you before, I'm a huge Eli fan. And, you know, Eli has won us two Super Bowls with some incredible throws, and he's a fourth quarter quarterback and everything else. But sometimes I think that we get a little too happy with Eli throwing the ball. And, you know, today, you know, again in that fourth quarter when he threw that interception, man, that could have been a big killer right there. We're looking at 0-3 in the division if Eli doesn't do what Eli does in the fourth quarter. So I guess my point is, you know, that's the bad Eli, but lately we've seen a lot of the good Eli in terms of his ability to make plays and forget about all of his other stuff. But I do have a concern with some of the fourth quarter decision makings. As I told you before, during the Eagles game, you know, I thought it was Eli cost us that game with his decision to throw the ball.
And that's fair.
Once again, in the fourth quarter, he's throwing the ball. Now, like I said, I'm a huge Eli fan, and I'm always going to support him. But, you know, sometimes I think he might need to be reined in. And that's all I have to say on that. What do you think?
All right, Drew, appreciate the phone call. And listen, I understand the point that you're making in terms of the decision-making at times. You don't need to be as aggressive given the situation at the time in which the Giants, you know, had a lead. They needed to milk the clock, run out the clock, any which way you could do that. And instead, they seem to rely on Eli Manning's arm. And there's been plenty of games where his arm is a big reason why the Giants walked away with victories. And today, despite some of his issues, they were able to overcome that. But the Eagles game is definitely a game that you could point to where his decision-making cost them down the stretch. He had that interception when they were in the red zone, and then there was that passing play where he goes to Barden, where probably the smart thing to do was run a running play, gain some additional yardage, give Lawrence Tynes a more makeable attempt, and perhaps even win that game. So, you know, I don't know if necessarily there was a similar circumstance here, because they did get that home run pass to Victor Cruz, but it could have turned out a lot differently, and I think that's what Drew is alluding to. You know, Redskins go up after that late touchdown. Manning doesn't get that home run to Victor Cruz. Who knows how this game plays out? Perhaps they get in field goal position, or perhaps they score a touchdown, you know, a little bit more difficult way in terms of having to eat up more plays and more time. It's hard to say. The Victor Cruz touchdown, I think, helped overshadow some of the other issues that were brought to the forefront in the fourth quarter. And his decision-making at times, you know, makes you scratch your head. It's made you scratch your head at the beginning of his career. But I think he's done so much in terms of his progression as a quarterback that as long as Eli Manning's on the football field, regardless of some of the decisions he makes, the Giants are always in a position to at least win a football game. And that's what matters. You'd rather have that aspect than have a quarterback where you don't know what he's going to bring to the table each and every week. And I think more often than not, Manning at least is going to give you the opportunity to make a play when you need to, given his track record in the fourth quarter. He's also going to maybe be in a position where you think, you know what, this may have been the time to be a little bit more conservative. But, you know, Manning has free rein on this offense. You know, Kevin Gilbride recommends the plays. Manning could call audibles. And I'm not saying that that was at the forefront today. But if he feels, based on what the defense moves around, that they had a running play going, he can make a play through the air. I think more often than not, Giants fans would trust his gut because he's come up so big throughout the course of his career. Let's go back to the lines. We've got, now is this Cherie in Virginia? Okay, there's another Cherie. Cherie, what's happening?
Our call got dropped. I don't know how, but anyway, I was just listening to a lot of what you all were saying. Again, this is the future, Mrs. Osium, and you're on the line. And I just wanted to say that I believe one of the things that really kind of had me going nuts was what was going on with the defense. It just didn't seem like Giants defense. They weren't in RG3's face enough. And as we said in the past, a few people have said, you know, we struggle against those mobile quarterbacks. So I don't understand why Few wasn't rushing more and blitzing more. And it just, I was over here pulling my hair out. And it was just getting me to the point where I was ready to kill somebody.
Well, there was pressure. There was pressure, Cherie, throughout the game. They didn't necessarily always get to him. And remember, JPP forced the fumble on RG3 and also helped contribute to the fumble with Alfred Morris. So they were in the face of the running back and the quarterback. And remember, it's a catch-22 when you press on a mobile quarterback, because if you over-pursue, then all of a sudden you don't have enough guys back to prevent RG3 when he runs up the gut for 20 yards. So rushing the quarterback, pressuring the quarterback is not necessarily always the best solution to containing him.
Right, exactly. It just didn't seem as if they tried enough, for at least from what I'm used to seeing the Giants do. And it just seemed like, you know, there were quite a few drives that the Redskins had where the defense wasn't doing much of anything, you know, in that first half. Then, of course, things got better, and maybe to what you or I think someone else was saying is that maybe they had to feel them out that first half, and when they came back out of the locker room, it was a lot better. But thanks be to the Lord, they won, and that, of course, is all that really matters to me. So now I'm going to go get my oxygen and calm myself down.
All right, Cherie, appreciate the phone call. And you're right, that's all that matters, because when it comes to the standings, you don't get brownie points for how you win the game. All that matters is you get the W. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Jose in Texas. Jose, what's happening?
What's up, Smelt?
What's going on?
Hey, man. You know, you hit it right on the nail with the last caller. I've been listening online. A lot of guys are wondering why they weren't blitzing more. Man, you know, RG3 is a different animal. You can't chase this guy. You know, and it's like you said, man. You over pursue this guy and he's gone. You know, I'm more of a guy like I was waiting on the guys to just stand back, contain him, just wait for him. You know, but another thing I wanted to touch on, do you think that the lack of, you know, the struggle they had early in the first half with the run? You think maybe it was Chris Canty not being Chris Canty in the first half? You think maybe he was a little rusty there in the middle?
Well, Linville Joseph also got shaken up, so it was a game of musical chairs at the defensive tackle spot. That could have been a contributing factor, but I think Canty showed a lot over the last couple of days of practice. Let's put it this way. They would have not activated him if they did not have full confidence in him going out there and making plays, and Chris Canty's known for stopping the run, but a bit of rust could have definitely played a role early on in the first half as to why Alfred Morris was able to gain so much rhythm on the ground. Absolutely.
Yeah, hey, listen, this kid, Stevie Brown, is this kid the real deal or what?
Well, I mean, he's made the most of his opportunities, and that's all you can ask for. You know, he doesn't have to be the real deal. He doesn't have to be a Pro Bowler. He just needs to go out and make plays, and I think he's done that. That's all the Giants and their fans should be asking for at this point.
All right, hey, thanks a lot, Snow. I'll be in Dallas, man, for the game.
All right, Jose, appreciate the phone call. And, you know, Stevie Brown, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, made another game-changing type of play today, and his name has really shown up over the last couple of games. Ever since Kenny Phillips went down, you know, there was concern that there wasn't enough depth in the secondary, and Stevie Brown has really come through. And I've told this story in weeks prior. You know, Stevie Brown, he's not a rookie. He spent a couple of years in the league prior to coming to the Giants. He was with the Colts. Most notably, what I want to bring up is his time with the Raiders, because he talked about this when he came over to the Giants. He was always primarily a backup, not necessarily a starter, but he was always preparing himself to be able to come in the middle of a game and act as if he was a starter. And Michael Huff would get injured time and time again when he was with Oakland, so Stevie Brown's number would be called more often than not. And I think that has prepared him from both a mental and a physical perspective to be ready for situations like this. Clearly, he's been in a starting position the last couple of weeks, but even that game in Carolina where he had to be thrown right into it, even when Antrell Roll got hurt, he's filled in for both of the starting safeties on this team, and the Giants haven't necessarily missed a beat. There was one big touchdown where he had a missed assignment. Outside of that, I think that he really has helped the Giants continuing that level of play so that it doesn't fall off once a guy like Roll or a guy like Phillips gets hurt. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. You could also continue to chime in on the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You could also interact with me at Lance Meadow. We go to James in Virginia. James, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Doing well, James. What you got?
Hey, I don't know if you remember me, but a couple of weeks ago after the Browns game, I messed around and I smacked myself afterwards. I said that the Giants defense was playing soft. Yeah, I want to apologize for that, because the next game they played against the Niners, they showed their true strength. Now, on to this game. I was thoroughly impressed by the defense because they played Giant football. They caused turnovers. They maintained, for the most part, as far as RG3 goes, but you saw what happened when they didn't. RG3 got a large game. So all in all, personally, I think Eli's been playing with our emotions. I don't know why. I feel like he kind of said that. You know what? I'm thinking that he was like, you know what? I want to go ahead and start my last-minute comeback streak again. But all in all, big win for Big Blue. Hey, enjoy your day as always. Enjoy the show.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. As the Giants, yeah, you're right. I mean, they dialed it up when they needed to in the fourth quarter. And, you know, it's funny because Justin Tuck was joking about this earlier in the week. He mentioned, you know, why do the Giants sometimes have some, you know, tough games after a big road game? You know, some people like to call it a letdown performance. Others would just say that they're a better road team than they are a home team. And Justin joked, he said, well, you know what? We always like to test Eli Manning each and every week. We just like to put him in a situation and see what he can give us. And you know what? Eli Manning wasn't necessarily put in a position where he had to mount a big comeback, but he was in a situation where they were trailing in the fourth quarter. This is an environment that he's used to being in, and he answered the call once again. I mean, there was a point where Manning hadn't thrown any touchdowns. He had two interceptions, and all of a sudden he winds up with 337 yards passing and a score. So that was big to pad his individual stats, but the Giants are more concerned with what he does for the stats of the team and whether or not they get a victory and a loss. And in this standpoint, they really came through when they needed to. But, you know, what you can really take away from this victory, regardless of them being 5-2, I think, is getting that first division game, especially when you knew heading into this stretch of the schedule, you got the Cowboys next week, and then they will have two AFC opponents before the bye. And I'm I'm not saying that AFC games are not important, but AFC games don't hurt you when it comes to tiebreakers. It's the NFC games, most importantly, it's the NFC divisional games. And these next two games here, now they just have one game, you know, can determine what may play a role in determining who's going to be the division winner and who's not when it comes to Week 16 and Week 17. At this point, it's way too early to tell the implications at stake. But you know what? The more victories that you continue to collect, the more victories are going to wind up paying off big time when it comes down to the stretch of the season. We go to Russell in Texas. Russell, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? I like to say Manning and Victor Cruz is the best combination of football. I don't know why they don't give Eli Manning his credit. He is the best quarterback in football. Not Aaron Rodgers. Eli Manning is the best. This is like the millionth time in the fourth quarter he just comes back. You just don't even want to play him in the fourth quarter. It's like, you know you're going to lose. They put their heads down.
Well, I mean, he's done it enough that I'm sure defenses are saying to themselves, you know, everybody sometimes criticizes the Giants leaving too much time on the clock for the opposing quarterback. I'm sure defenses are saying the same thing about Eli Manning. You know, Washington was happy they scored a touchdown, but then they looked at the clock and noticed the Giants have three timeouts and said, oh, my God, we're in a bad position here, especially when you have the 32nd-ranked pass.
Did you hear what Howie Long said before the game? He said, the only quarterback in the NFL I can trust right now is Eli Manning in a fourth quarter. I had never seen a quarterback do this. Every fourth quarter, Eli does this. He'll get blown out. We could be down 21 in the fourth quarter. Eli comes back and win it by two. I've never seen this. He's the best quarterback in the NFL.
All right, Russell. I don't think many Giants fans are going to argue with that point. As you know, his resume, and I mentioned this earlier, has been quite impressive. If you throw out the first three quarters and you look at the fourth quarter alone, what he's been able to accomplish and his ability to really execute down the stretch has been critical for the Giants' success, not just this season, but in seasons prior. And the fact that you have a quarterback that, despite the situation, despite the lead, despite the deficit, that you have full confidence that you're always in the thick of a game. I think there's a lot of teams around the league that would give up a lot just to get that type of quarterback. I mean, there are some teams that are still determining who their starter is going to be. The Giants are fortunately one of a few teams that are not in that position. And once again, Eli Manning answered the call when he needed it the most. And now the Giants are going to head back on the road where they have certainly had a tremendous amount of success the last couple of games and the last couple of seasons. They're going to look to build off the momentum of this win, but more importantly, the win that they got a week ago in San Francisco, is going to head to Dallas. And speaking of Eli Manning, aside from MetLife Stadium, you could probably say that he calls Cowboys Stadium his second home away from home because he's done so well there and he's had big games. And last year, if you recall, had that big comeback where they were down by multiple scores in the fourth quarter and Eli Manning came through. JPP had the blocked field goal, and Giants fans certainly know the rest as they were able to sweep the season series from the Cowboys, and that turned out to be a difference maker in winning the division when it came down to that last game of the season. So that one is going to be a 4:25 kickoff. We will be back with you next Sunday with our pregame show starting at 4 Eastern, so make sure you tune into that. We're with you between every commercial break throughout the course of the game. No commercials here on Giants.com. We take your phone calls leading up to kickoff. We take them at halftime, and we also take them after the game. So this is the place to stay locked to on game days here at Giants.com. As the Giants improve to 5-2, Redskins fall to 3-4. Dallas, as I mentioned earlier, beat Carolina 19-14. So the Cowboys are 3-3. The Eagles stay at 3-3. They were on the bye. So next weekend is an opportunity for the Cowboys and the Giants to renew their rivalry. But for the Giants' perspective, it's an opportunity for them to build even more of a cushion on the Cowboys as they could potentially add at least a two-game lead on their next closest opponent. That's why, you know, it may be said more often than not, but you got to win your divisional games because that's the easiest path to get to the postseason. You win your division, you're in, and then you don't have to worry about getting help from anyone else. 27-23 is the final once again as Eli Manning hooks up with Victor Cruz for a 77-yard score. That was the big home run. That was the big difference maker. Chase Blackburn and Jayron Hosley forcing and recovering that late turnover from Santana Moss. So the Giants now 5-2 all alone atop the NFC East standings. We'll see you next week, but we'll also be back even sooner tomorrow morning. Big Blue kickoff 9:30 to 10:30. John Schmelk will join me. For those of you who didn't have an opportunity to call in, we will take your phone calls and continue to break down the game. So tune into that tomorrow morning. I want to especially thank my producer, John Vasquez. I'm Lance Meadow. We'll see you tomorrow morning right here on Giants.com.